The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we say hello to you and welcome you to a new week. Hope you had a wonderful Easter holiday. But there's a lot going on in addition to the national championship game tonight in Indianapolis. So we'll talk about the latest from Baton Rouge, and there's quite a story brewing down there. But let's begin with some football news. And there is a new transfer in Georgia. West Virginia's DB, Tyke Smith, is saying, you know what? I want to join the train. And everybody is excited about the Dogs. And that means they have some addition now on defense, and they need it. Meanwhile, there's a lot of controversy over Justin Fields, some of that we will skip here today. But Ryan Day is calling out players who opted out of the season while he defended Justin Fields. In an interview with Peter King, he said, and when those other guys are opting out, what's he do? He petitions to have a season. He puts together this petition that the Big Ten athletes all sign saying that they want to play, but they want to play safely, and they don't accept canceling the season. It was all led by Justin Fields. Well, you might want to add Trevor Lawrence to that, Mr. Day. But anyway, where was everybody else? Where were the guys who were opting out then? You know, you don't love the game if you do something like that. This kid loves the game. There's been a lot of controversy about Justin Fields. An ESPN commentator, Dan Orlowski, talked about some information he had picked up from pro scouts. And then Kirk Herbstreit called him ridiculous on Twitter. ESPN on ESPN crime. Who would have ever thought? Meanwhile, looks like Clemson's got a replacement for Trevor anyway. DJ Uiagalelei had a pretty good spring game, and everybody is ready to get the season going. Clemson will, of course, take on Georgia in the openers. Meanwhile, anytime there's a Final Four, there's a lot of conversation about various important issues, and Ralph Russo has done an interview with a number of ADs, surveyed them on NIL, and they are concerned about competitive balance. We will talk to the man who did that interview shortly. And the SWAC is playing football every day, every week, and there's a lot of news that Coach Prime continues to bring in attention. And sponsorship. Pepsi has entered a partnership, thanks to Coach Prime, as part of the Racial Equality Initiative. And finally, some breaking news from Baton Rouge. Where have you heard that one before? After Darius Guy's sexual harassment allegations, a request for money changed the LSU investigation. Money, politics, you know, in Louisiana? Who knew? Andrea Gallo, part of the team that broke that story, she and her colleague, Brooks Cabina, have just done stellar work, award-winning work, I might add. And she joins us now to update us on exactly what is going on. And Andrea, thank you very much for the time. Good to have you with us. So tell us about the latest story and what it could mean.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me. So there is yet another new development with all of the fallout at LSU. A couple of weeks ago, a woman named Gloria Scott, who's a 74-year-old security guard at the Superdome, testified before the legislature that she was sexually harassed by Darius Geis in 2017, and that whenever she tried to report the harassment to LSU, her words kind of fell on deaf ears, that LSU did not honor her request, which was that Darius Geis be held out of the Citrus Bowl. And she also said that she had spoken directly to Ed Ogeron about these allegations and that he did not really do anything to resolve them aside from telling Geis that he needed to apologize. So her testimony set off a lot of alarms down here, and there were a lot of people who were extremely upset about it. There's a new development today in that we requested all of the documentation that LSU had received about her allegations back in 2017. And whenever we received the results of that request, we got audio recordings and text messages. And a few other things like that that showed that a man named Cleavon Williams, who is an AAU basketball coach in New Orleans, had asked LSU for $100,000 on her behalf at the time. She says that she did not authorize Mr. Williams to ask for that money. However, it definitely changed the course of how LSU dealt with her allegations against Darius Geis, because suddenly they were faced with this monetary request.
And Andrea, you know a lot more about it than we do, but how credible from people with whom you've spoken and looked into in terms of reading all this was her testimony, though? How clouded by the allegation about the money changing hands, although it didn't, and what, where is this all going? I know I've asked you a lot of questions, but it's confusing to say the least.
I think that's what makes all of this so difficult. Her testimony was extremely emotional. She was crying. She was shaking. She clearly had been deeply disturbed by what she was testifying about. And she, because of that, the legislature saw her testimony as extremely credible and has demanded this week that they're holding another hearing and that they hope to hear from Ed Ogeron and Scott Woodward. And I think the main question for Ed Ogeron at that hearing is going to be, you know, did you talk to Gloria Scott? What were your interactions like with Gloria Scott? But at the same time, now that we know that there was this request back in 2017 for LSU to pay this man who said he was helping represent her, it definitely raises some questions about how those interactions were handled. And I think it kind of paints maybe a more complete picture about how LSU was dealing with her complaint at the time that they received it.
And let's go to Coach Ogeron, who you know, seems to be somewhere in the midst of all this. I know, I think you told us the last time that he was being asked to testify. You mentioned Thursday a minute ago. Is he going to testify?
We still are not sure. The next hearing is going to be this Thursday. They have requested that 10 kind of current and former LSU officials show up and testify, but the agenda notice also says that people can submit written statements as well. So it certainly seems like that's an option for Coach Ogeron if that's what he would prefer to do. However, we do expect Scott Woodward, the athletic director, to testify in person, since he was prepared to testify in person at the previous hearing, which got cut after about 7 hours. So one way or another, we should be hearing from some people within the athletic department. It's just a matter of how many.
And it's worth pointing out that Scott Woodward was not at LSU during this period, right?
That's right. He was at LSU during some of the allegations that are raised in the big Hush Blackwell report. But during this Darius Geis incident in particular, he was not at LSU at the time.
Yeah, he was at LSU, then he went, what, to Washington, and then to Texas A&M, I believe. I could be off on that. But in wrapping up, Andrea, and I know that when you're reporting a story day to day, you go with what the information you have. You don't, it's not like writing a book where you have a complete picture. But as we turn the page to this weekend, to Thursday and next, what are the missing ingredients here? What don't you know that you would like to know?
Well, I think that there are a lot of questions, a lot of people wanting to hear from Ed Ogeron about his knowledge, not only about this Darius Geis case, but about all of these cases involving football players. When did he know and how did he find out about some of these allegations of rape, sexual assault, domestic violence involving members of his football team? So I think that that's one question that we are hearing from a lot of people who say that they're interested in it. And then I think another kind of major question that's still outstanding here is, what is the LSU leadership going to do about all of this? We've had two suspensions. Both of those employees are now back on campus. And so there's a lot of discussion of change policy and that sort of thing, but there still seems to be a lot of members of the public who are interested in seeing more action from the leadership of LSU.
Andrea, finally, and I know I think this is the second finally question I've given you, where does this all end? Do you have any idea based on what you have learned?
I think it could be going on for several more months. I mean, I certainly don't think it'll remain quite at the same quick pace that it's been at, but LSU is under a federal Cleary investigation over how they have handled campus crime incidents, how safe students feel on campus, and how LSU has reported those incidents. Those tend to last for several months, if not years. So I think LSU will be dealing with that for a while. I think that the public accountability aspect of this is still pretty hot. And the legislature, who is about to convene their legislative session, has several bills coming up this session that might address things like how campuses deal with sexual assault and reporting requirements. So I think that this could still be going on for quite a while.
Andrea, thank you. Please come back soon. It is fascinating to listen to you and Brooks hear about your reporting down there, you and Brooks. And we wish you well, and let's talk again very soon.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much. Andrea Gallo reporting on the latest from Baton Rouge. And we've said that a few times since this story first broke. Lots to do today. More of your phone calls will start trickling in here at 855-242-7285. It looks like the University of North Carolina has a new basketball coach. Drum roll, we'll tell you when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. Some really sad news to pass along from Alabama. A beloved fan of the program and really of everyone who ever met him has passed away. Luke Ratliff had followed the team up to Indiana and tragically died the other day. And an outpouring from not only Alabama coaches and athletic directors and officials, but coaches across the country have sent through Twitter and other means their condolences.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Today's guests, we've already talked to Andrea. Chip Towers will join us, talk about the Dogs and a lot of other things in the state of Georgia. Ralph Russo on his NIL interviews with ADs. John Talty from AL.com and Andrea Adelson as we look around. And by the way, there was breaking news from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. It was just last Thursday that old Roy retired, and today the university is about to name, although it hasn't been made official, but many are reporting that it is going to be Hubert Davis, his top assistant and longtime Tar Heel. Jeff Goodman, one of those reporting it. He's saying, oh, it it's done, just a formality now. So the school will announce that shortly. Not a surprise. Almost everyone thought that's where the Blue Bloods of Chapel Hill would go, and they did indeed. Some interesting names had been mentioned, although nobody realistically thought the job would go elsewhere. Let's get some reaction to everything that we have discussed and more. And Hugh is in North Carolina. Hello, Hugh.
Good afternoon, Paul. Who have you got in the championship game, the Catholics or the Baptists?
Well, I have I've been with the Zags from the beginning, Hugh. So I'm going to wear my rosary tonight and cheer on for Gonzaga.
130 years ago, the Jesuits put that discipline out there. High degree of academics and blood and guts athletics. And I've seen it at the high school level in the short existence of Flagey.
Absolutely.
And, of course, Baylor's the oldest university in Texas, founded by the Baptists 175 years ago. Paul, I think that game Saturday night was maybe the best college event, athletic event I've seen in 40 years. Outstanding coaches, great performance by the athletes, and what a competition. And I would be shocked if we get a replay of anything close to that tonight.
I agree. I think tonight will be anticlimactic, and I think the fact that they were tested so severely in a weird sort of way, Hugh, favors Gonzaga.
Well, I'm on the other side of it, Paul. I think maybe they had a hard time coming down in 24 hours from a victory like that. And I have a strong belief in the athletic ability of the backcourt of Baylor. I think it's Baylor's game to win and Gonzaga's to lose. And
I'm disappointed. I mean, I went to Catholic high school. You went to Catholic high school, and You're going
no, back. I'm Baptist, but I grew up with the Catholics.
Okay, you grew up.
I fully understand that.
Then I understand why you're simply looking past objectivity and going with your group.
Well, yeah, you might say that, but it's really based on basketball savvy. I think the thing about it, the thing that made the game with UCLA and Gonzaga so spectacular, that they were totally different protocols and different type of approach to the game that allowed for the beauty of those differences to be exhibited. In Baylor and Gonzaga, you have mirror image of each other. It's going to be a speed game, and those type of things I've learned through the years, Paul, turn out to be more of a rock fight than a basketball game.
I think you're right.
But whoever wins it, it'll be light years ahead of that sorry exhibition I watched last night.
Oh, my goodness.
Between Stanford and Arizona. That's maybe the worst game I've seen in 40 years. Paul, I'll talk to you later,
Thank
baby.
You. Yeah, no, I watched the game last night, and I wouldn't say it was the worst, but
it sure wasn't in top 10.
Well, no, I would agree, but Stanford might be the luckiest team I've ever seen. I saw them against South Carolina, and I saw them last night, and I'm not going to take anything away from them. They're the national champions, but they were rather fortunate in the final seconds of both games. So let's leave it at that. Andre is in Atlanta, and you are on the air. Hello, Andre.
Coach Paul Feinbaum, how are you, Coach?
I'm well, thank you.
Look, I got a friend out on the West Coast named Kelly Farney. He's the number one SEC hater in this country. But I told him, the SEC is big boy ball. Don't hate the player, hate the game, Coach. He told me that he listens to you on television. I told him, come on down. We got enough room down here. Cut USC or lose and come on to the SEC, better known as big boy football. What do you say, Coach Feinbaum?
Now, Andre, what's his name again?
Kelly Farney.
Kelly.
He's out there in the Bay Area. Yeah, outside of San Francisco.
Here's my concern, Andre, and I've been out there a number of times and really love it, but I've never left the Bay Area where it didn't take me 3 or 4 weeks to get my head screwed on back straight. So, I don't pay any attention to anyone out there.
Coach, listen, he lives out there in Fairfield, California, but I try to explain to him and the rest of my homeboy, the Big Ten homers, the SEC is the line of scrimmage league. We had the most players drafted last year, and we're going to have the most players drafted again this year.
I mean, Andre, listening to a Californian give us advice on college football would be asking me what my favorite fried food is.
You too hard, Coach. Boy, this is a mess with Les Miles. Wasn't that a mess, Coach?
Yeah, I will tell you, in listening to Andrea, my gut feeling is this is not going to go much farther. Anytime you have alleged payoffs, it hurts the credibility badly of a witness. Even if what she's saying is correct, and even if she had didn't go along with this interloper, but it will blow up an investigation pretty quickly. I think it just seems like it's going to stop here unless something else falls out of the skeleton closet.
Coach, as always, it's good to talk to you. I tell everybody, you're a straight shooter. You're going to say it like it is and let the chip fall where they may. Thanks, Coach Feinbaum.
Thank you. Yeah, Andre, if one day I'm suddenly not here, that means that somebody did not like that straight shooting. I just wanted to...
All right, Coach.
Thanks. Appreciate it. I wanted to make sure people knew that in advance. That's like leaving a codicil to your will. We'll take a break. We have a lot to do here at 855-242-7285. Love for you to join us. We have a lot of guests coming up, including Chip Towers.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And it seems like every day we have the University of Georgia football program somewhere in one of our headlines. So we thought we would dig in a little bit deeper. Someone who lives down there and follows the team very closely, and that is Chip Towers. Always nice of Chip to join us. Chip, it's been a long time. We hope you're doing well. And it seems like there's always something to talk about with the dogs. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, another practice, another scrimmage, and another wide receiver injury. That seems to be the discussion here lately. But we're almost to G Day, and I think you probably can't get here soon enough for Kirby Smart and their staff just to to be able to assess what they have and just make sure nobody else gets hurt, because that's the only news. That's the main news you get at springtime.
And Chip, let's start with George Pickens. He was hurt very severely, and I've heard varying predictions, and that's all we can do right now is listen to experts pontificate. But when's the earliest he could come back?
Well, the big question there, Paul, is if he comes back, and to date, none of us have been able to talk or ask freely of George Pickens or his parents. That's ultimately where this decision would lay as to whether he would come back at all. Is it possible for him to come back in the 2021 season? No question. In this day and age of ACLs, that can definitely be done. But will he? The projections right now, without George Pickens having taken a snap in 2021, is that he would be a first-round draft pick. And best-case scenario would be returning to the field in October, November, probably. Georgia, by all accounts, should be, in pursuit of some high goals. And, unless something goes really wrong, they should still be in that position in October, November. Would that be enough for George Pickens to want to come out and risk injury? I don't know. And you got to be real careful about rushing back with ACLs. Georgia actually has two examples of guys not necessarily coming back too early, but having suffered back-to-back ACLs. Zamir White with different ACLs, and then Dominic Blaylock with the same ACL. I'm pretty skeptical on George Pickens coming back in 2021.
Chip, let's talk about the other injuries. What's the prospect? We've had at least two or three other ones. What do they look like?
Well, I don't know if you caught Kirby's comments this past Saturday. Jermaine Burton is the other one. And the thing about Jermaine Burton is he played the Y last year, but he was the one, the main guy moving over to play the X. George Pickens out. Terrific guy, all-SEC freshman, sophomore this year from California, different body type and athlete than George Pickens. And he suffered a hyperextended knee in practice last week. But nobody knew because of kind of the way things, Kirby has things set up. You know, there's not a daily briefing, and, you know, they don't really send out injury news. But everybody knew something had happened to Jermaine Burton in practice because enough people had seen it and saw, you know, heard him yell and saw him get, you know, carted off of practice. So everybody was kind of freaking out a little bit, you know. The news pretty quickly was that it's not that bad. It's a hyperextended knee. But, you know, who knows? So he got hurt. And then this past Saturday, another one of the candidates at the X position, Arian Smith, who actually played last year but is a redshirt freshman, the fastest player on the team, sprained a wrist, you know, sprained a wrist, so he's out. But, you know, effectively, you're at your fourth string X, which is the split end. So, you know, Kirby gets a little frustrated that all that information comes out. But, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? You know, it's a big point of discussion for the Georgia Bulldogs. And when information is sparse, people are going to fill it in with whatever they think they know.
Yeah, how about that, Chip? A coach getting frustrated that injury information is getting out. What a world we live in.
Yeah, crazy, right?
So let's talk to you because you've been around covering that team long enough to know without looking it up, you know, the haunted past this program has had in terms of gaining significant championships. So let's, and I mean national championships, someone is going to pick Georgia to win the national championship. They'll be a serious contender, but notwithstanding the injuries you've already talked about, what do you think? Is this team capable?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're definitely capable. Look, Kirby has recruited them to that point. There's no question. But, I think we've seen, that everything has to go to right to have that happen. And I wrote at AJC.com talking about if you look at the last three national champions and you're talking about Clemson and Alabama and LSU, everything went right with those programs, especially at the wide receiver position. That's what's changed in football, and Georgia is trying to make that metamorphosis like everything else. These injuries aren't helping the scene. Now, the good news for Georgia is they have lots of offensive targets, right? I mean, you don't have to necessarily spray the ball everywhere. You're still strong at tailback. You're very strong at tight end. They're good at the slot back position. It may change some emphasis, but, you know, I think already Georgia's, you know, national championship hopes, as it were, have taken a little bit of a hit. I mean, I don't think there's any way you could look at it and think any differently. George Pickens is a difference-making type of player that they really needed to be healthy this season. He's not. The other thing you got to flip around and look at is the secondary. And, they lost five guys to the NFL. I don't think I've ever said that ever about any team ever. They lost five guys to the NFL. That's a lot, right? They're doing a good job of replacing. You've probably seen the news. They got a transfer from West Virginia. Tyke Smith is coming in. That was a big get. And that's an immediate starter, probably at the star position, that's going to be coming in here. And I think that helps, but that's a big question mark too. So, you know, I'm not real high on Georgia winning the national championship. Just from the standpoint of they've already got a couple of flaws, I think. But that said, they've recruited great, a couple of breaks here and there. It can definitely happen. They're going to be in that position. But, you know, I'm laughing about what you said. I've covered them for a long time. As soon as the Pickens injury, all the people who've been fans for a long time, all of them say it's the curse of the dog. The curse of the dog, has struck again. And is that the case? I don't know. We'll see. But Georgia's due for everything to go right from this point forward, and if that happens, then certainly they can do it.
Finally, Chip, I'm Georgia used to be different. I say used to be because under Mark Richt, I always felt like being good and respectful and getting to a good bowl game and beating your rival most of the time was enough. What's the new standard for Georgia?
It's championship or bust now, and that's what it is. You know, between Rick and almost to Don, and not quite, but from Rick to Kirby Smart, the one thing Georgia does just about better than any other program, probably with the exception of Alabama, is they never have the just stinker season, right? I mean, been very few. It's always 10 or so. But the flip side of that is skeptics around the league that have seen it for so long say, oh, well, they're the proverbial wannabe. So it's a desperate fan base. It's particularly donor base that really wants to see Georgia bust that ceiling, you know, and get through. They feel like they've done everything. They deserve it as much as LSU, Alabama, Florida, however many have won them since Georgia's last one in 1980. Georgia feels like they deserve it and doesn't understand why they haven't gotten it yet. So there's a growing impatience, no question, because there's a lot of money still pouring into the program, a lot of facilities. Kirby's basically gotten everything he's wanted. Now they want everything they want back in return.
Yeah. If I find out where you can go buy one of these things cheaply, I'll let you know, Chip, to tell your friends who are Georgia fans. It's not that easy. Hey, great for you to come on. We'll talk again very, very soon. Look forward to it.
All right. Good to catch up. See
you. I like Georgia fans. Championship or bust. And you know, they can't figure out what happened. I think it would be fairly easy to figure out why Georgia is sitting here without a national championship. Just watch the games when you had double-digit leads and let those games slip away. We will take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. I know we've been a little guest heavy. Haven't had a chance to talk to many of you, but we will change that now. And you can give us a ring at 855-242-7285. Let's check in with Brad, who is in Indiana. Hello, Brad.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Brad, you there? I don't hear Brad. Maybe somebody else does. Let me try another caller here. And Victor is on the phone. Hey, Victor, good afternoon to you.
Yes, Paul. I want to talk about the NCAA and everything. I'm a 60-year-old guy. I played ball in college, and I don't know about them paying the guys, but back then, I thought it was okay, but now, I don't know. I'm kind of agreeing with these guys. They should be paid something. I mean, you got coaches making $10 million and everything. And
hold on. Let me stop you, if I could. Just players do receive a couple of $1,000s, and I'm just mentioning this as a point of reference. This cost of attendance, it could be $3,000 to $8,000 in stipends, which – I'm not saying, would change your life, but when I was, and I bet when you were 18, it would have changed mine because I didn't have anything.
Oh, of course.
But, is it fair, and I ask this to you and everyone watching and listening, just because a coach makes $6 million a year or $4 million or $8 million, does that mean that his players should make that too?
No. What I'm saying is they should get something because when I was younger, I thought, you know, the scholarship wasn't good enough. You know, I work all summer just to have money during the school year. But if I was a kid now, man, you got to pay me something, man. You got to give me something.
Okay, help me through this because when you would have played what in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s?
70s, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to get a point of reference. So if, you know, we're talking about 2021 here, if you're a football player and you got 100 players on your team at Georgia or Alabama or Florida or wherever, what's a good number to give you? Because you have it's not like you have a small team. You have a very large team.
Well, I understand that. We had a big team too, but I'm like, hey, you got to give me a couple thousand or something. I got to get something for, you know,
Well, but I mean, but my point is they are getting something. They're, you know, most players are getting
education. No.
I just got through saying the cost of attendance will give them approximately $5,000, depending on where they go. So they are getting something in addition to something that I didn't get and you didn't, or you did get maybe, tuition, room and board. I realize it may not be what they're used to, or maybe what they like, but they it's not like they're getting nothing out of the deal, is my only point.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, man, they got to come up with, I mean, if I was a kid going through that now, hey, got to send me something. I send my mother something and all that stuff.
Well, you can't, know? but Victor, you can't, there are rules. Now, I agree with you. I think the rules are ridiculous because, you know, the NCAA enforces what they want to enforce. But, I think it would be great. I'll never forget. I'll tell you a quick story. I covered Eddie Robinson my first year out of college, and they got put on probation. And I called Coach Robinson, who I'd gotten to know, and I asked him. He said, "Well, I screwed up." I said, "What'd you do, Coach?" He said, "You know, one of my players, and you know where I'm going here. You know, he had to go home for his mother's funeral, and I gave him money out of my own pocket." Now they got sanctioned for that, because a great man that Coach Robinson was and remains a legend to this day, you know, reached into his own pocket to help a young man go back home to bury his mother.
Exactly. I mean, the same thing happened to me. My grandmother, a school paid for me to come on back home then. Nobody got caught. Nobody said anything. But I'm just saying, besides that, I mean, with everything with these contracts and deal,
well, but Victor, here, let me move on. I appreciate it. But here's where this NIL could help. And, you know, it's coming. We don't know what it's going to look like. And but it is coming. There has to be, you can't make it a free enterprise system, or, you know, the rich will just continue to get richer. Hey, thank you for the call, though. Let me check in. I think we have Brad back from Indiana. Hello, Brad.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, Paul, so one thing I am going to say, I think the boys out of Texas are going to run wild, and I think they're going to get a nice title. I think Baylor's a great team. I think they guard the rim. They shoot a beautiful three, and I just think they're going to do good things against Gonzaga. But aside from that, Paul, I just wanted to see if I could get some input on or some predictions about Indiana football this upcoming fall.
Well, that's a question I have never been asked in the history of this show, Brad. But Tom Allen did such a phenomenal job last year that I think the program will continue to improve. I haven't looked at their schedule, but I expect another really good bowl game and an impressive season.
No, I agree. We just got to get over that hump and actually win a bowl game. Those two games against Ole Miss and Tennessee, we just got to get over that hump and actually beat them. But you know, Indiana, it's obviously Big Ten country, but I feel like a lot of people, if you were to ask them, you know, even though our athletics don't compete, where a lot of us are SEC by heart.
Hey, thank you for the call. We're up against a break, but we are done. 1 hour down, 3 to go. We look forward to talking to you when we come back.